Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Shmendra Paul, the Program Manager of the Information Sharing Environment. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. We are discussing the newly released Strategic Implementation Plan for the President's National Strategy for Information Sharing and Safeguarding. Let's talk a little bit about that plan itself. Give me the 50,000-foot view. Why was it developed? By whom? And what are some of the long-term goals?
The new Strategic Implementation Plan for the National Strategy for Information Sharing and Safeguarding, we've just released it. I'll take you back. It was December of 2012 when President Obama released the national strategy. Over the last year, we've been working with our agency partners across the government, intelligence community, defense, civilian agencies, to build out the strategic implementation plan. There's 16 priority objectives in the plan, and each of those priority objectives has a more detailed implementation plan that's agency-based. This has been an agency-led process that we've rolled up into the strategic implementation plan. We wanted to do that and release it here about a year after the original strategy came out to be able to demonstrate the progress in planning. Also, this is more than just a plan. It reflects ongoing activity governed primarily by the Information Sharing and Access Interagency Policy Committee that I co-chair with the National Security Staff, but also reflecting work of the Senior Steering Committee on Information Sharing and Safeguarding, Federal CIO Council, other bodies that are in this space.
You talked about the 16 priority goals. We're going to get into them in a little bit, not all 16, but many of them, and people will make sure we link up the report and the plan on federalnewsradio.com so people can read the whole thing. But the development of it, you said, was an interagency effort. So did each group of agencies take a piece of it, or how did it work? Because I think what people sometimes lose sight of is what your role at the ISE is, and how you guys work together to kind of create this interagency working group or plan.
Absolutely. Our role is planning, coordination, and performance oversight, performance monitoring. So each of the 16 priority objectives had different agency-based stewards. These stewards, in some cases co-stewards, multiple agencies led the process, pulled together working groups. Now, those working groups turned out to be the subcommittees and working groups of the Information Sharing and Access IPC primarily, and then some other specialized groups. So we had agency participation across the government for the agencies that participate in the ISA IPC. Our role is staff support and facilitation and coordination and working out dependencies between the different objectives. So for example, there's a priority objective on data tagging. So we supported the Information Integration Subcommittee of the IPC to do a data call across the government looking at data tagging schemes to bring that together in a way that could support the development of the milestones that are identified in the strategic implementation plan. There is a need to coordinate between the data tagging work and the work around identity and access management, the FICAM activity. Right, so right there you've got some dependencies. Those then support the work of baseline interoperability capabilities, right, which is another one of the priority objectives. So there's a lot of dependencies and crosswalking. My team here is supporting the agencies to pull that all together.
And to be clear, this is not just intelligence and DOD. This is every agency, civilian, DOD, intelligence, and even private sector.
Absolutely. Our mandate goes across the entire federal government, state, local, tribal, private sector, international. This plan, though, has a federal feel to it. So it's the core agencies with the work include the Department of State, Homeland Security, Justice, Department of Defense, the intelligence community, but also agencies like Transportation, Commerce, Health and Human Services, Interior, General Services Administration. It's pretty broad. And as you know, our work has got a huge best practices focus, information integration kind of focus. So we work very closely with the CIO Council and the federal CIO community. Now, our state and local partners, private sector partners, their equities are reflected in the plan because of our ongoing work and outreach. But that's actually a big goal for the coming year, is to more formally integrate those other communities as we look to enrich the plan. So this is not a static plan. It's something that we're going to continue to improve as we execute it. I talked earlier about my partnership with the National Security Staff. I want to put a face on that. My partner in doing this work with the Strategic Implementation Plan is a fellow named Charlie Bartoldus. Charlie just retired from government. This was his last act. From my perspective, I like to think of it as his capstone of his career. 43-year career. He was port commissioner in the Port of Baltimore. 9/11 happened. For Customs and Border Protection, he was the architect for the National Targeting Center, driving a risk-based screening approach. He was DHS's attaché in London. And then for the last year of his career, he was my partner in the White House. And this plan came together the way it did because of his leadership. And I just wanted to salute Charlie.
Talk a little bit about the governance structure. Because once you put out a plan, everyone goes, okay, what happens to it? Is it shelfware? Does it actually get implemented? Who's going to make sure it gets implemented? And does that go back to the White House and your partners at the National Security Committee?
Absolutely. It goes back to the governance committee, the White House-based governance that I co-chair. And we have about 20 subcommittees and working groups underneath that is where the bulk of this work happens. But we're also cross-lashed with a senior steering committee for information sharing and safeguarding that is co-chaired by NSS, Michael Daniel, and OMB, Lisa Schlosser. So they're doing a lot of work post-WikiLeaks on improving things like identity, access management, and things like that. So that's reflected in the strategic implementation plan. You know, we're cross-lashed with the Federal CIO Council and some of the work they're doing. An example of that is the FICAM activity. That's all underneath the Federal CIO Council, and we've really camped out on that. Baseline interoperability capabilities, a centerpiece for that is the National Information Exchange Model. Again, broad-based use of that.
So there's 16 areas. Let's talk about some of the ones that I think excite you the most that maybe you could see having some immediate short-term impact, and then we'll look at some of the ones that maybe have some long-term as well.
They're all important, but there is a prioritization within the 16. The first five are the most important. Those include governance, information sharing agreements, data tagging, identity credential and access management, and safeguarding. So then the rest fill out the list. So some of the ones that drive near-term value and driving near-term impact, I'd like to highlight something that's, you know, we have a little bit more of a stronger role in, which is baseline interoperability capabilities. We're all about interoperability at the information level, semantic interoperability, network interoperability, business process interoperability. So one of the things that we've been working on with our agency partners now for some time, and it's going to come to fruition in the next 6 months, is something called the ISE Interoperability Framework. It's an update for the old enterprise architecture framework that this office had published in the past. It ties our standards-based approach, our work with industry. Right now, as I said, we've been working it through the Information Integration Subcommittee. That's co-led by Donna Roy at DHS and Michael Kennedy here in my office. Two exciting things are going to happen the next month and a half, actually, is we're doing a tabletop exercise to demonstrate the use of this framework, right? A tabletop exercise aimed at planning out architecture and capabilities, right? People do operational tabletops. This is a system development tabletop. To my knowledge, the first time something like this has ever been done. So we're doing this with the Maritime Domain Awareness Community and looking forward to them doing that and hearing back the results, and we're going to integrate that into the interoperability framework to make sure it's usable, not shelfware. The other thing we're doing right now is reviewing it with industry through the Standards Coordinating Council that we've set up that includes organizations like ACT, IAC, FCA, IGIS, as well as standards organizations like OMG, OASIS, the Open Geospatial Consortium. So those are two ways we're going to make sure that this document actually delivers its promise.
When you go back to the tabletop exercise, I know it's still in some of the, in the planning stages, but the idea behind that is to demonstrate how the framework works and maybe where, look for areas that maybe, okay, this we need to think more about, or this area worked well. It's almost like a test run to see how it could work.
Exactly, and it goes a little bit further. The document describes how to use and align architectures so that you can deliver interoperable capabilities. So part of what we're looking for out of this tabletop exercise is going to be, are we able to align different information sharing capabilities in the maritime domain area? Are we clear on the requirements? Have we effectively integrated the standards that we've promulgated and that we've championed? Have we lined up the policy frameworks and things like this? So it's really much more of an engineering tabletop, but it's got the operational piece in terms of the mission requirements.
Let's go back to some of those five initial top priorities that are in the plan. You mentioned one of them was safeguarding. Obviously, there's been a lot of focus on safeguarding with the recent leaks that have come out, whether it's Edward Snowden or WikiLeaks. Talk a little bit more about the safeguarding and the goals under that. There's also an executive order from the president that's all part of this effort as well.
That's right. Post-WikiLeaks, an executive order that drove this activity to set up the Senior Steering Committee for Information Sharing and Safeguarding that I mentioned earlier. That's integrated into the strategic implementation plan. One of the things I'd highlight there is OMB put out a memo, M1403, on continuous monitoring last fall. And we're looking at how to integrate that into the safeguarding activity. So that's, you know, something where agencies are working, looking forward. We've made a lot of progress on one of the five priorities, removable media, in terms of tightening down and making sure we can, you know, actually implement policy that's been outstanding around removable media. So there's an active stream of work around safeguarding. I think that's needed. Clearly, looking at the current environment we're operating in, safeguarding is top of mind.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Shimendra Paul, the program manager for the Information Sharing Environment.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Shimendra Paul, the program manager of the Information Sharing Environment. We are discussing the newly released Strategic Implementation Plan for the President's National Strategy for Information Sharing and Safeguarding. Give me a sense of where you're going with identity management and access control, because I think that is a key piece of the safeguarding. How does this plan help agencies implement that key attribute?
It's exactly the case. I think that there's always been a strong awareness, but if anything, it's even stronger about the foundational role of identity and access management and the need to put in place capabilities. So what's happening? We have the FICAM, the Federal Identity Credential and Access Management Roadmap, that's been under development for a fair amount of time, a lot of implementation guidance out, a lot of initial implementation. What we're seeing now, what we've seen over FY13 and what we're seeing coming into 14 is really a focus on shifting to implementation of the capabilities described in the FICAM. So let me give you a few examples. When you talked to Mike, he talked about the back-end attribute exchange effort that we and GSA have been doing to securely, in a multilateral way, share attributes so that you can do attribute-based access control across, at an arm's length way, across multiple different information sharing partners. You know, that's based on the FICAM. It's called out as a capability in the roadmap. It's great to see the state and locals having adopted FICAM as strongly as they have. We have things like identity federations that are coming up. Just a couple of eight weeks ago in November, Jeremy Grant at the NSTIC program office up at NIST, the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, Jeremy and I co-hosted a summit at the White House with all of the NSTIC grantees and program leaders from across the government to talk about modern approaches, you know, federated approaches to identity management, and try to accelerate that activity and put a spotlight on it, make sure we were having a strategic conversation, not only, you know, among the innovators in the tech community, but also the key consumers in the government, state and local and federal. I think there's going to be more of that kind of thing going on. There's active identity federation that's working today at high degrees of trust between the federal government, our state and local partners. That's growing. FICAM is being accepted on the secret fabric as an architectural framework. So there's more and more commonality, more push towards implementation.
Part of the FICAM effort goes back also to data tagging. And I think that was another interesting initiative that was laid out as part of this implementation plan and something that you highlighted as well. Data tagging is something that I remember talking about for years and data standards and how to get going. What's in the plan that's really going to give this data tagging initiative a little more oomph this time around? Because this is not a new event, this is not a new initiative, yet the success has been a slow roll, and maybe it needs to be slow because it's not an easy thing to do.
I'd highlight three of the priority objectives that are going to really help accelerate tagging. Number one is there's the data tagging initiative itself, which is focused on making sure we have a common set of attributes for access control and for security markings, privacy controls, as well as other organizational affiliations, mission affiliations, so you can do policy-based access to the information critical on the safeguarding side, as well as on the information sharing side. But having an architecture for tagging doesn't work unless you have policy agreement between organizations. So we have a priority objective two. One of the top five priorities is around information sharing agreements. And the point with that is to move away from point-to-point bespoke information sharing agreements to multilateral information sharing agreements that use a common vocabulary that can be automated. And that automation uses that data tagging. So for that to work, you got to have effective governance, right, where different agencies, different levels of government, public sector, private sector, can have forums to come together to actually agree on core issues like how they think about individuals in their organization and core information assets and access to that. So the governance one, the information sharing one, and the data tagging one. Now, those are just core. It gets broader than that because data tagging, as that evolves, the right place for that, I think, and this is me more from a subjective perspective, this isn't a policy statement, it needs to line up against the FICAM roadmap. That's the place to document it, is in the, you know, the Federal Identity Credential and Access Management roadmap in terms of the, so I think there's a relationship there too.
And when you talk about multilateral sharing and agreements, we're talking about not just federal to federal, but federal to state and local and tribal, but also international and potentially even private sector. When you look at some of the cyber information sharing that DHS, for instance, is doing through the NCIC, or some of the other things around DIB pilot, for instance, comes to mind as an information sharing objective. Is that what we're talking about, or is this really just focused on federal right now?
It's broader. Now, saying that it's broader, you got to look at specific implementation. So places where there's implementations are things like in the intelligence community, the EyeSight activity that Al Terazic, the CIO of the intelligence community, has been driving, really an incredibly innovative and forward-leaning approach, right? So we want to make sure that we're leveraging the best practices and lessons learned that are coming out of the intelligence community work there to inform what we're doing. There's work that's going on like that in the DOD. There's work going on like that with the different agencies. And you're right, there's work going on like that with specific programs like the cyber crosscut with the private sector and with our state and local partners. But increasingly, we want to make sure that as these programs get traction, right, and this comes back to what's our role here at the PMISC, it's looking over all of this and helping to align and share best practices in an actionable way so that we're using the same kind of tagging schemes, right? We're not introducing gratuitous variations that will create problems downstream, but we're actually mutually accelerating each other's work.
Let me jump on to one of the other priorities that maybe aren't in the top five or even the top 10, but I thought it was just as interesting. You guys list an RFI initiative and an RFI process. How do we ensure that when we put out an RFI, everyone understands what we're looking for? And I think a lot of times that's where things get lost in translation, whether it's an RFP or an RFI or some way the government communicates with industry. Talk a little bit about that initiative and why is it important, what the goals are?
Sure. RFI is Request for Information. What we're talking about there is really a family of business processes, or in the strategy, they're called common operating processes. Let me give you an example. Across the Fusion Center network today, when Boston bombing happened, they did RFIs. They went in both directions. Fusion centers outside of the immediate area of Boston wanted to understand what was going on so that they could have situational awareness to inform governors, mayors, and so forth. Also, during the investigation, the Fusion Center in Boston, the Boston Regional Intelligence Center, as well as the Massachusetts State Fusion Center, they queried out to the Fusion Center network to support the investigation of the suspects and to be able to bring that to a quick close, right? So there were a lot of other players involved, the federal, of course, the FBI was leading the response because it was terrorism termination right off the bat, but that's an example of RFI. Now, you also have RFIs every day, DHS, the Operations Center, the National Operations Center up at on the Nebraska Avenue, they do RFIs to support situational awareness for the Homeland Security mission. So there's multiple classes of RFI, and what we're doing here is looking at those common operating processes, introducing a slightly greater degree of standardization, commonality across the elements of those, that family, where the commonality exists. For example, geospatial tagging of information. We want to do that in a consistent way, right? And so that uses our other interoperability frameworks. So this is something that was actually, has been a challenge for some time. Government's made incremental progress. Here we're looking to take that an actual step function into progress by injecting all the interoperability frameworks that we've developed over the last while across this family of common operating processes.
I think it's helpful to understand when you say RFI what you're looking for, because I think, you know, in the federal world, people think of RFI as a request for information for a procurement action. The plan obviously addresses procurement, but that's a whole different thing. But this is an RFI, true request for information about a specific issue or a specific incident or something that's happening. To get a standard way to do that is what you're really after.
Exactly. There is another priority objective around standards-based acquisition, right, which is trying to go to, can we use these interoperability frameworks early on where it makes sense, standardize requirements and policy for broad-based information sharing challenges, and then be able to work with industry to support those common operating processes and then be able to procure solutions that are interoperable, right, versus building custom software and the like, right? So that's a big push. We've been working with ACT-IAC, IGIS, and National Association of State CIOs, and procurement community have been also doing a paper on this and doing some work. So that's an active area of activity, but the RFI here is different. It's operational RFI, not procurement RFI.
And in fact, I just put out a new report on procurement. Is it related back to
Yes, that's right. I just, which is an industry association, several hundred members, law enforcement, homeland security, public safety, federal, state, local focus, very active partner of ours. They did a procurement report that's very broad-based and included a lot of the different players. Tech America was involved, National Association of State CIOs, National Associations of Procurement Officers, and we actually participated in that activity, and it's related strongly to the earlier work we did, Kathleen Turco and I, when she was at GSA, we did the work with ACT-IAC on this. So we're actively taking those recommendations, and it's in the strategic implementation plan for that priority objective.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Shemendra Paul, the program manager for the Information Sharing Environment.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also...
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right, but did you know...
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about...
OMB's digital strategy.
Jeez. How do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Shemendra Paul, the program manager of the Information Sharing Environment. We are discussing the newly released Strategic Implementation Plan for the President's National Strategy for Information Sharing and Safeguarding. Private sector has come up several times during this conversation. They have to play a role in this. You know, we hear all the time how 80% of all the critical infrastructure is owned by the private sector. We hear all the time about the private sector sees problems many times before the government does, and they have to share the information back, whether it's cyber or other things. What is their role in this? There is a priority objective around the private sector, but their influence, their partnership has got to be kind of marbled through the whole thing.
It is. The private sector is one of the key stakeholders, and it's a real focus, whether it's traditional infrastructure protection, cybersecurity, or the work with the IT industry around our standards-based approach to interoperability. I'm going to highlight two things. One is the Standards Coordinating Council. I mentioned this earlier, but it's really important to come back to this. We actually had our kickoff meeting for 2014 just yesterday. It was incredible to have the CEOs or the executive directors of or their representatives for a number of these different organizations, ACT-IAC, FCIA, IGIS, AFEI, OMG, the Object Management Group, OASIS, the Open Geospatial Consortium, the Global Standards Council, which is a DOJ FACA. The NEAM Program Office was there. And we were talking about a pretty robust agenda. We're going to be doing another workshop on information sharing and safeguarding standards. That's going to be organized by the members of the Standards Coordinating Council. We're going to help out, but they're going to be doing the work. They're going to be hosting it. So it's wonderful to see that, right, that we're coming together and working out the details, the engineering details of interoperability in a way we can tie to procurement frameworks.
One thing that I've heard concerns about from industry, not necessarily regard directly to information sharing, but working with different agencies, is they provide information, they provide ideas, and then the government, and I'll use the big, broad government idea, goes in their own way anyways. How are you ensuring, and because I think that's part of your role as playing the conduit of everybody that industry is listened to and are included, their suggestions are included in this, because I think there's this feeling among some, at least, that doesn't always happen.
We're an honest broker. We're not operational. We don't actually run IT programs here. We're planning, coordination, engagement, and performance oversight. So because of that, we're have a little bit more flexibility on how we operate. Let me give you a really very specific and tangible example, which is just one of probably 10 examples I could give you about how we listen to industry. We've gotten feedback over the years that the geospatial community was concerned that they had a set of standards, geographic markup language, a set of services, service-based approaches, service specifications that was different, or the NEAM frameworks were a little bit different, right? And this turned out to be a critical issue for federal and industry stakeholders that, you know, we got fragmentation here, how do we align these? So we listened with our with the NEAM program office, different stakeholders. We sponsored an activity with partnering with DHS, with NGA, with DOD, with the Federal Geographic Data Committee, and the Open Geospatial Consortium. It's called Geo for NEAM. And it was work that was done by the Open Geospatial Consortium to develop a set of recommendations and engineering approaches to better align the geographic markup language with the NEAM so that we had a consistent way of reflecting geospatial data tagging and things like that. It's been quite successful. That work was instrumental to the decision of DOD to adopt the NEAM First policy. And it generates a lot of excitement with our industry partners because they've made an investment in the Open Geospatial Consortium as well as implementation of the service specifications. And then that's in turn driving mission impact, right? Because we have higher degrees of geospatial interoperability. So right there, that's an example.
When you look across all 16 of these initiatives, and there's a lot here, there's a lot going to go on for the next few years. Where do you see the biggest challenges?
I'd highlight three areas. You know, the number one challenge we face is the incredibly diverse and fragmenting threat picture that our mission partners face. You see that with, you know, we started with traditional counterterrorism. You've got the cybersecurity aspect to this now, violent extremism, right? And so all of this has to be mission-driven, so that's that introduces a big challenge. You know, the second challenge, and it was highlighted in the national strategy, is unaligned or fragmented management practices. It's really hard to do cross-cuts across the federal government. When you add in state and local, private sector, international, tribal, it gets that much harder. Now, we've made progress on that, and I don't want to leave your listeners with the wrong idea. And it's a challenge that's much bigger than information sharing. This is a challenge around any kind of government-wide transformation activity. The the third area is the budget picture. We've had substantial challenges over the last few years with sequestration, the budget picture. I think I want to nuance that last one a little bit, though. When budgets are increasing, that tends to encourage go-it-alone behavior, right? So when budgets are tighter, it tends to catalyze innovation, folks looking towards common solutions. But that being said, the budget picture does make it more difficult to make progress.
Well, sounds like we could probably talk a lot longer. We've gone over a lot of it. As I said, we will link up on federalnewsradio.com to the full report. Shravendra Paul is the program manager for the Information Sharing Environment. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.